that have look at the doors. The Bible says in John 10:7-9, he said, I am the door of life. Those who come into me shall go in and out and find green pastures. So we find here that there is an access in and an access out. Now, many will have difficulty thinking about that. If Jesus is the door of life, most people will think that's just to enter into heaven. But it says you can go in and out and find green pastures. So there's an in and out. There's actually go in and come out of that door. Matthew 7:7 says, knock and the door shall be opened to you. Have you been knocking on heaven's door? What doors have you been knocking on? Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, and he who hears my voice, I'll come in and dine with him, and there'll be a banqueting table. It's interesting. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, and he will dine with me, and he with me. So there's a whole present where we knock, which is the will of man, the choice of man, to actually see the doors open into the heavenly realm in the spirit. But there's also a place where God likes to come in his sovereignty and knock on your doors. So that kind of covers Calvinists as well as Armenians, you know what I mean? Gets both of you happy there. Because, hello, it's not just God coming to knock on your door, you actually got to do something yourself. And the door into eternity is Christ himself. So I often enter in the spirit realm through him. I often, in the spirit, get taken into that realm again, where I come into the light of his radiance and glory, and then he opens up the door and I go in. I found the reverse when he comes back down here into this realm. I've often seen it through the cross. But not a wooden cross, through a cross of light, because he is the light of the world. I've often seen him enter this realm through the cross. And often before he comes, I often see the angelic coming first into a meeting, so I know the meeting's going to be changed. And I watch the angelic coming before him, actually preparing the way for him to come. Who is the King of Glory? Jesus. Lift up the gates, that, and it's actually the doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? There's a place in the Spirit where you actually open it up in prayer. You open it up the heavens. You open up the windows. You open up the doors. You open up that the King of Glory might come in. Who is the King of Glory? Mighty in battle. There's often warfare associated with great warfare because he is a mighty warrior. And when we go up there, there's often the battle for us going up there because you've got angels of darkness trying to stop you from actually entering into the heavenlies. God wants an open heaven above you like Ezekiel, but we often have a bronze heaven. So the key is to get an open heaven over your own life, isn't it? Then hopefully you get a bit of a heaven over someone else's life. Because they've had a fair bunch of hell over them. And Jesus becomes the head of the house. And he becomes the Lord. He becomes the Prince of Peace. And then God wants to actually open up heavens over cities. Then over nations. Open heavens. But the first thing is you've got to actually carry one yourself. You want the star, the bright morning star to shine upon you. You want the radiance of God. You want the glory of God manifested upon you to actually move into that realm. Doors. Proverbs 8:3-34, it says, wisdom, let's go here. Let's go to Proverbs 8. I really like this one today. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice on the top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet? She takes her stand beside the gates at the opening of the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out. So there's a whole place where to find wisdom and to find understanding is to actually be in the doors, the door of the Lord. You'll find you do a worship study in the doors, often stand at the doorpost. They worship God at that doorpost. The lintel of the doorpost had the blood over it. You understand? The doorpost was a gate, was the entry in. It was an entry in. It was a place of importance. And it goes on in verse 34 of that same Proverbs 8. It goes here, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. Blessed is the man who watches daily, waits daily, sits there waiting for the King of Glory. To hear him, see what he has to say, to bring his word, bring his heart, bring his presence at that time in. Psalm 78. So flip back a little bit. Psalm 78:23. He has commanded the clouds above and he opens and opened the doors of heaven. He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. And he rained down manna for them to eat, the word, the living bread, word of life, and gave them food from heaven. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man did not eat, did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. How would you like to have that kind of stuff? Manna from heaven, the living word of God from heaven, the bread of life from heaven. Not something secondhand, regurgitated, but the word, the rhema, the manna from heaven. Angel food. They live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And see, that's what needs to sustain our spirit. You can have all the wonderful food, have all the wonderful diet, and run all the programs I've given up, and just go for the inner man, you know what I mean? Outer man is decaying, thank God. Mashallah. Do you realize out of a worm comes a butterfly? Hidden for many years. How many some of us like to know that? We'll go on. Psalm 24. I do that with my Bible often too. It's amazing how he speaks to you. It's a Bible roulette, as all of you have tried before. Psalm 24. Lift up ye gates. Let's go on before that. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face, even Jacob. Lift up ye gates, ye heads of ye gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up the heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And it talks about at the beginning, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, who has not sworn the deceitful, and he shall receive a blessing from the Lord, righteousness from our God. Do you realize who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Do you know where he is? He is ascended. And he wants us to go up there. I am not of this world. I am no longer a citizen of New Zealand. I am in the natural. I am a citizen of heaven. I hold a heavenly passport. I am not bound by anything. I'm bound by the laws of the land, of course, but I'm not bound by the natural things, in a sense. The world's the Lord's and all it contains. So I can go anywhere in the world. I go anywhere. I say, God, I don't go on invitations. I go, God, where do you want me to go? Simon's from the Lord. Because the world's there. I don't have to even consider about thinking, where is the money going to come from, or how is it going to happen? I just have such faith after years of walking this thing that I can go anywhere and do anything and see God supply and take care of my needs. First time I went out was, I was 1 year in the Lord. I went out on a one-way ticket to Southeast Asia. And for the first 7 years of my life, I didn't share anything of my testimony to actually, in any way, really, maybe one or two times, but never as the thing that I'm doing now and sharing. I just went out and lived by faith. I had 95% of my support come from Asians, from supposedly the poorest people in the world. So to think you have to have money to go into these countries and all that's a load of rubbish. Easier to live than the poorest people of the world. Rich, the poor in the world are rich in faith. So people, you'd starve likely in the Western world before you'd starve in the third world. Isn't that true, Amherst? They'd actually give you their food. And as a trouble, sometimes I'd be eating the meal and I'd think, what a feast, a banquet. So I'd start eating all this food and then I'd find out that that was to feed about 20 people. And we just pigged out and gorged about 90% of it down, four of us. And I have no idea that that all's going. They've given you the best and all they've got. And then what's left over goes to whoever's outside, which is the woman, the children, the men, the whole lot. You only do that once. When you find out, you do that once, then you start praying and fasting. You take a small amount, which you know will feed 25 people from what you see before them. You take your portion and you let the rest go. And after years, you start looking like them. But that's okay. Good for the soul to buffet the flesh. Where are we? Isaiah also in Isaiah 22, and this is the one that we see in Revelations. Isaiah 22 talks about, I like this one. Isaiah 22, yeah. Talking about in verse 22. Then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. Then he will shut no one. When he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. And I will give him like a peg driven. I'll drive him like a peg into a firm place. And he will become a throne of glory to his father's house, so that they will hang on him. and all the glory of his father's house, offspring and issue, all the least of the vessels from bowls and all the jars. Isn't that awesome to know? We talked a bit about vessels, didn't we, last night? Who wants to hang on to the Lord? Be hung on to him. And he's going to be holding that key, the great key. And here's keys, keys of the kingdom. Isn't it Matthew 16, verse 19? We've been given keys to the kingdom of heaven. Keys to the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God is within you. What do you think the keys are for? Opening up doors into heaven. Just running it through. It might seem simplistic, but often we use the keys for many other things, you understand? In Revelation 1:18, Jesus holds the keys of death and Hades. So there's power over death and power over hell. He has the ability to unlock the pits of hell. He can go in there at random, whenever he wants. Darkness is the light of the Lord. You know what I mean? He can go straight in there. Okay. What is the kingdom? Now, how many have heard this preached, of course, through the Vineyard movement, very much taught by John Wimber? Kingdom, the thing is that I saw is that we are a kingdom of priests. Okay? Kingdom of priests. Now, if we're kingdoms of priests, do you know what the priest's job was to do? To go into the holy place. Didn't they? Once a year. But we're now a new priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. We're not of the old priesthood. We actually have a new priesthood where we can boldly come, the Bible says, through into the holy place in Hebrews. In Hebrews, where is it? 9, isn't it? Hebrews 9 and 10. It talks about the holy place being opened up where we can come in as priests under the Lord with the blood of Jesus. So what I found when I came outside what would be called the outer court, when I came into the presence of heaven, I came into what would be called the outer court and I saw the glory of God, but I was in the outer court. I had been touched by love, peace and joy and comfort. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit had touched me. Now the Holy Spirit, the scriptures say the Holy Spirit glorifies who? Jesus. The job of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. So I'm not seeing Jesus because he's hidden inside the glory of the Holy Spirit who has glorified Jesus. Make any sense? I was outside experiencing love and peace and joy. How many of you know we've had the joy come through? I believe there's a greater thing, the love, because I found the first thing was comfort, peace, joy, and then I went into the love. Okay? It was very, very clear and demarcated. Love and acceptance. Then I was drawn into this cloud of glory. In this cloud, I realized it was veils. It was literally veils, like miniature stars suspended in it. In that, I had my heart of hearts healed. He heals the broken hearts. So it was a deep healing of my heart. When I saw the veils tear and open right up, in the midst was who? The Holy of Holies, Jesus. He didn't need the Holy Spirit to glorify his face, in the sense, because the glory of God was coming out of his face. When you read in 2 Corinthians, let's have a quick look. I want to get this. That's the one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, it says that light shines out of the darkness into our hearts and the glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. So the actual true glory, the beginning of all life, is actually in the face of Jesus. So I saw light piercing out of his face and I realized that when he spoke, the worlds did come into existence. I realized, looking upon the Son of Man, but he was the Son of God, and his face was the epicenter of all the light, all the power, all the radiance. Everything had its origin and beginning in his face. The face of Christ was the glory. I could not see his face because the Bible says no man sees the face of God and lives. So without faith, if I had seen his face, I wouldn't have any need for faith because I've seen him unveiled. I saw his form and glory like Moses, but I did not see his unveiled face. But I knew it was God. And out of his face was coming purity, just like the gold, and what was coming out of his face? Holiness. He is the Holy of Holies. He is the Holy One. He is the temple. He is the inner person. He is the center. He is the core. And the Bible says the light that surrounds him is so bright, and talks about that, it is unapproachable almost. An unapproachable light? You ever read that? So some people say, well, how can you approach it? I said, because of the blood of the Lamb. I can approach that light because I have it washed with the blood of the Lamb. My spirit can approach the King of Glory because I'm accepted. I am washed as white as snow. I am brought in as a son of God into the presence of Almighty God to look upon Him and be transformed from glory to glory. I have access, the Bible says, to come in Hebrews 4, boldly into the throne of grace and find help in my time of need. How many need help? How many have times of need? How many would like to know where to go? Into the throne of grace, into the Holy of Holies, within the veil I now would come. We sing the songs, but I don't know if anyone actually is doing that in the Spirit. I'm just being honest. It was very fascinating too that in Ezekiel 44, Ezekiel also was talking about this place. We're going to read 15. And it said, the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who keep charge of my sanctuary, and the sons of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me, and they will stand before me and offer me the fat of the blood. And they shall enter my sanctuary, they shall come near me to my table to minister to me and keep my charge. And it goes on in verse 19, and it says, and when you go out into the outer courts, into the outer court to the people, they shall take off their garments on which they have been ministering and lay them in the holy chambers. They will put on other garments so they may not transmit holiness to the people with their garments. Do you understand something? As priests of the Lord, no one can transmit the holiness of God in that place to people. That's something that only comes by you entering in. There's many things you can transmit. The Bible goes on and says in verse 23, but yet they shall teach the difference between the holy and profane. They shall cause them to discern between that which is clean and unclean. It goes on and says, and on the day that he goes into the sanctuary and the courts of minister in the sanctuary should offer up for sin offerings, and it shall be, and he said, it shall be as a regard to an inheritance for them, for that I am their inheritance. And they will give, you shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. So there's a place where you come in there and you're going to have holiness transmitted into your spirit. From that holiness, there's a place where that's called the secret place. Do you understand that? That's the inner room. When you pray, go in. Go in. When you come out, you may be carrying that, but that's something in the very, very holy of God. Clothe yourself in garments of humility. Clothe yourself in garments of... Because you're going to be transmitting teachings on how, but you can't actually bring them into that. They've got to come in. But a holy bride, you see, is preparing. Many people will be happy in the outer courts, but there's the inner court. And we have ability to go in there. Okay, where are we? Thy kingdom come. Where is this kingdom? To come into us. Where to go into the kingdom? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he adds all other things. And it said, you'll be granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What? The mysteries of the kingdom of who? He said, you. You're the disciples. You're going to be given the mysteries, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What is the greatest mystery? Christ in you. So therefore, to enter into that kingdom, that's actually within you. It's fascinating, isn't it? Christ is within you. And what opens up? Faith. Keys of the heart open up into that kingdom. And we must come to him as children, little children. Why? Because it says, such is the kingdom given to children. And what is heaven like? There's a new heaven, new earth. There's angels. There's river of life. There's so much in that kingdom that you can step into that God can take you to and give you revelation, give you understanding as you meditate, as you wait upon him. He can actually take you up into that realm and start showing you different parts of the kingdom of heaven. Because guess what? That's where you're going to live for eternity. So why not go and actually start capturing what that's like and bringing the kingdom of heaven onto earth? Why not start actually going up where the glory is so that you actually might actually bring some of that glory back with you? Why not go up where the incense and the oil and the anointing and the healings and the revelations of God are and actually start coming back with some of it? Now remember Queen Esther. Queen Esther was born, the Bible says, for such a time, what is it? For such a time as this. Esther in Esther 4, verse 14 to 16, she was realizing that her entire family and kingdom was going to be taken out, and Mordecai said to him, perhaps you've been born for such a time as this. And it says that in Esther 5, verses 1 to 3, that she actually told them to pray and fast for her, and she was going to go in to see the king. She stood in the outer courts, the king was in his chamber. As she stood there, the king saw her in the outer courts, you know what I mean? Because I understand she's risking her life to come in. Just like we saw last night of the Ethiopian eunuch, risking his life to come in to the chamber, into the throne room. As she stood outside, the king lifts the scepter towards, a golden scepter, and of course touches that, and we get a response from the king. You can have up to half the kingdom. Do you realize in the spirit realm that God has given us a access in as sons and daughters? That we actually don't get half the kingdom, we get the whole kingdom. You understand? The whole kingdom. All authority, not some of the authority, all authority is given. Go therefore and make disciples, cast out demons, you know, and preach the gospel. All authority is given. So the command was that all authority. Do you realize someone has to die for you to get the inheritance? Well, Jesus has died, so we get all the inheritance. We have got the inheritance as sons and daughters of the Most High God. As sons and daughters, we have access in to come in and to touch that royal scepter because we have access into the holy place. Do you realize you'll receive authority from God, not your own? Remember the old knights used to come before their kings. They'd come before into the courts of the king. They'd come before the throne of the king. That king would often then reach out to them with his scepter. Or he'd reach out as they knelt down and would knight them. You understand that? He'd also give them banners. He'd also give them simons, scrolls. He'd also give them cloaks and mantles that they'd be known, the signet rings. He'd be giving them things that show that they had the authority of the king upon them because it had come from royalty, it had come from the throne, come from the king of heaven. He also gave them weapons forged in the king's armoury. So that when they went out, these men were known because what they wore, by what they saw. They'd even be given crowns. They'd be given things that would identify them so that they'd been in the king's presence. So how would you like, how many know there's a lot of warfare goes on? How would you like to come in to the throne room of God and start bowing down before his throne and start getting some of the stuff given by him to you? I was in the meeting and suddenly God put this gigantic sword in my hand. I was standing there and I went, what? Huge. I could wrap my hands like this, a monstrous thing going across. And as I'm doing that, the prophetic woman, Jill Austin, was actually in front of the meeting, said, it's a big one, isn't it, Ian? I went, whoa, I was way up the back of the meeting. And I said, it's huge. She said, well, do something with it. As I said, God, what? He showed me strings attached to all the people that were in this meeting. And the Lord said, and I was at the back of the meeting, he said, take the sword. I did that, and as I did that, a whole bunch of people just went out under the anointing. Whoa. What was that? You know what I mean? Other times I saw the Lord come in and there'd be angels with swords of fire, and I could see him walking into possession of that. Other times I stood there and saw them with golden trumpets and worshipping, and I'd see they would herald his presence coming in. He said, I've given you weapons. There's the war axe, war club. Arrows of righteousness. How many know there's a little bit more in there if you actually look? He opens his armory. You know anything about an armory, it's not just a sword. Different weapons for different jobs. How many know you might need a war club? You might need a war axe. It actually gets to the root of things. Axe is laid at the root. You don't use a sword to cut out roots, you use an axe. Bash down walls, you might as well use a club. To hit something from a distance, use arrows. Called arrows of righteousness. There's different weapons. I'll maybe get on that tomorrow. We'll get sidetracked otherwise. I'm already sidetracked. Changed by his glory. Kingdom of God is within you. Sons of God. Romans 8, verse 19 to 23. The whole of creation is looking forward for the revelation of the sons of God. Because that's what's happening, that we might know our place in the kingdom. We might actually know our authority in the kingdom. That we might be men and women of God who actually have the full armor of light upon us. Romans 13, 12 to 14 says, put on Jesus. He is the full armor of light. Clothe yourself in him. I tell you what, I'd love to be clothed by him. Do you understand? Clothed by his light. Clothed by his presence. Walking in the power of his spirit. Because the enemy sees us. You realize that? He actually does see us. He doesn't know who we are. And we're either no threat to him because we're walking around naked, or we actually are a threat because we've actually been coming from the presence of the King. They knew these new disciples. How? Because they'd seen they'd been with Jesus. Well, that's a fascinating statement. Jesus Christ was in heaven. How on earth could these people figure out that these people had been with Jesus? They stood there and they said, we don't understand this. You know what I mean? These people have been with Christ, yet Christ is in heaven. That's what they talked about of the new Christians. Isn't that a lovely statement? And someone looks at you and says, where have you been? Oh, I went to church. I can see that. Where have you been? With Jesus. I'm going to close with one scripture, and we're going to pray for people. This particular one, I'm actually going to close with two. Sorry. Let's turn to the page. Zechariah chapter 2, it says, run and speak to that young man, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of the men and cattle within it. For I declare the Lord will be a wall of fire around her and the glory in her midst. There's a wonderful picture that there's going to be a church without walls, there's going to be cities without walls, there's going to be a multitude of people coming in. And what's going to happen? There's going to be a wall of fire, which I believe the prophetic are going to lay up in the spirit, watchmen on the walls. They're going to lay up a wall of fire of protection around those getting saved. And it's not going to be physical walls, it's been done in the spirit. And we're going to find that the apostolic is going to be very powerful because they're going to actually usher in the King of Glory into the midst. It's a glory in the midst of the fire. See, David understood the presence of God. Saul didn't. David did. He had a heart after God. He took off his kingly robes and dressed in an ephod and danced before the Lord to bring in what was called the presence of God. And what he was recognizing was that God was the King of Kings. He was a king, but he's an earthly king. He was willing to throw his crown like those elders before the throne of God. When he danced in, the presence of God came in. One woman who was Saul's daughter, Michal, saw and despised him because he was being so humble and so silly that she actually said, despised him for doing that in her heart. And the Bible says she was barren and birthed nothing. There are many people that are going to be doing this, despising the humility of the people humbling themselves to let the King of Glory come in. And when you do that and dance before the Lord, there will be a place that takes place. Christ will come in all his glory. And you're going to have a wall of fire, the prophetic, standing around you. And it's coming, with or without us. And then I'm going to go into Zechariah 3, which I'll close with. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angels of the Lord, Satan standing in his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and standing before the angel. When he spoke to those who were standing before him, saying, remove those filthy garments from him. And again he said to him, see, I've taken away your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you in festival robes. Then he said, put on a clean turban on his head. So he put a clean turban on his head, clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, you will perform my servants, and if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house. You will also have charge over my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. My dear. So here is Joshua, the priest of the Lord, standing up in the throne of God. I understand. Clothed with his garments, and his garments are all soiled and dirtied. What do you think's happened? How many have had your garments soiled and dirtied in the battle? You know what I mean? Through your own sin, or with someone else is throwing stuff at you. You know what I mean? Or the devil, whatever. You got hit. But it says here, he's standing before the throne of God. Satan, who's the accuser of the brethren, is going for it. And the Lord turns around and says, angel, I rebuke you. You know what I mean? The Lord, I rebuke you. Rebuke Satan. Now, angels, get the new garments. Take those ones off, put new ones on, so that person now can stand before me clean again. How'd you like to have that happen? Each time you've gone into battle, you've come back from the presence of heaven, gone into battle here, had it all kind of knocked around, and you go straight back up there again. They're clothed again. It says you can have free access amongst here in my courts if you do what I tell you. You love me and obey me. Oh, I'll give you free access into here. Amen? So I think that's the message that God gave me in the midst of all this. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 3:3-4 says, the hiding of his power is in his hands. Rays are coming forth from the hands of the Lord. I've seen those rays, seen the power of that touching my hands. You see, the prophet Habakkuk, we call a minor prophet, actually saw what was going to happen to Jesus and saw that he was nailed through. But that was the hiding of his power was in his hands. Light, splendor, majesty coming forth. Glory of God coming forth upon the King of glory himself. And he wants to glorify what? His bride. He wants to come with his glory into the church. He wants to come right into the house of God. He wants to come back in and claim his bride. He wants to come back in and fill them and transform them with glory. He wants to catch them away to be with him. He was willing to come down and fight for you on your behalf. Come down and actually send the angels, legions of angels, to come with you and stand with you, that you might see in the spirit world, greater are those with you than every thing against you. I will stop. I'll fold it up before I see any more notes that I've written there.